Welcome to the sermons and teachings from the Catalyst Fellowship with Ipai Michael. We hope the message you're about to listen to will edify you and cause you to experience exponential growth. And now, the message.
Well, welcome someone to your left and to your right. Say welcome to church. Say congratulations on 2 years of the Catalyst Church Windsor. Hallelujah. You can have your seats. Hallelujah. Well, we're having a longer service today. And the reason is because God will have us pray as we step into this new year. Were you able to pray? Well, I have such a powerful word for you today. I know there are grateful hearts here, but I want you to know it's also a prophetic service. We're going to thank God once we're done with this. But you see, the prophetic is one of the most important gifts that we have in the church today. Do you believe that? Do you believe that? One of the most important gifts that we have in the church today. You know, God guided them all through the Old Testament with prophecy. You know that, right? Prophecy is so sure that when it was time to search for the Messiah, Herod, a pagan king, could ask, where was it prophesied that the Messiah would be born? And they said, Bethlehem of Judah. And he could trace that and send the wise men to look for Jesus. If a pagan king could trust prophecy, how much more you? And the God we serve is a God that leads through prophecy. Do you believe that?
Yes, sir.
You see, many of the things I'm going to say today will not sound new to many of you, but it will be timely for the season that you're about to enter to. And I want you to receive it with your heart and be ready to act on it immediately. You know, I can spend today telling you about how to take Windsor for the gospel. And I would have preached a good sermon if I did that. I can spend the whole of today opening your eyes to understand the kinds of spiritual activities that go on in territories that many people have zero idea about. Are you listening to what I'm saying, somebody? Zero idea about. I can spend today talking to you about how Gabriel said to Samuel, from the first day that you set your, or to Daniel rather, from the first day that you set your heart to understand and humble yourself before God, your words were heard, and I have come because of your word. So from the first day that Daniel set his heart to sought after the Lord, the angel of the Lord was already sent. But Gabriel would also say, I was withstood by the prince of Persia. Do you know what that means? That from the beginning of when Daniel started to pray, the answer to his prayer had been released by an angel. But on the way, the angel was stopped by another being who is in opposition. For 20 days, the angel was held back before he finally came to Daniel. Maybe this is why you have to spend longer in prayer sometimes to get results. Are you seeing what I'm trying to say? Maybe it's the reason why many of your efforts seemingly look as though they are dropping on the ground and you're not yielding results. I can spend today opening the eye of your spirit to see that there is opposition in every territory you're trying to take, that there are beings in charge of territories. You might not see them, but there's spiritual warfare going on every day. Every day. There are specific territories that you can't take if you don't pray to break off those forces. You will just experience some form of stagnation. Are you listening to what I'm saying? I can spend today helping you understand that if you don't understand spiritual warfare, you might never be able to do ministry effectively. Because you must be able to deal with the war in the air first before you now start to wage that normal battle. Have you noticed sometimes that when you go to evangelize, when you did not pray, it feels harder? And when you pray, it's as though people's hearts are automatically opened to you to receive. What does prayer have to do with convincing a person with logic? It means that beyond the logic, beyond the rhetorics, beyond the words, beyond trying to convince the people, there's something else at play. I once heard the story of a man. There were two cities joined by a bridge. In one city, the gospel was flourishing. In another city, it was so hard for them to grow in the faith there. And they were connected by a single bridge. And one day he said he would test it out. He went to preach. He preached to somebody in the city where things were hard. The person rejected him and said, "No, I'm not listening to you." The person crossed the bridge and he said, "You know what? I will try again." And he went there and he tried again. And the person started to cry and fell to her knees. Sometimes it just has to do with what is going on in the territory. You know, the Bible is very conscious of geography. Very. Very, very. A lot of the things that the Bible, that's why he would call that guy the Prince of Persia. Persia was a real place, meaning that there was a being that was in charge of that territory, not for God, in opposition to God. I don't have time to teach that today because I've taught you a lot of this about heavenly beings and heavenly hosts before. You know, and the beings that rebelled. But I can spend all the time trying to show you this. And if I do that, it will be a great sermon. And if your eye is not open yet to see that, you must know that we're not just fighting a physical battle, we're fighting a spiritual battle. And I want to put it or sort of zone in to this location, Canada. Thank God for the wars we fought. Thank God for the results we've seen. Some of you are expecting me to tell that story, Abby. I'm going to tell the story of when we're about to start. And someone said, "New church in Windsor, it won't fly." You know, I don't blame the person, because the person had seen churches try here and it didn't work. Are you seeing what I'm saying? Yes, sir. Most people you know want to leave Windsor, not stay. But since the inception of this church, we've seen people come. Are you listening to me? Uh-huh. So, you know, when we wanted to start, they said we must cook food and put coffee, else they will not come. I said, "I'm not cooking anything." We're not cooking anything. If you will come here, it will be because of the word and because of growth. They said, "Ah, pastor, they will not come." Oh. I said, "Let's only cook on special services. We're not going to do anything. And let's see if they will come just for the word." Amen? Amen? When I was the only one playing guitar, did they not come? Hallelujah. I'm trying to say that beyond what you're seeing ordinarily, there is more going on. And one of the times that God started to open the doors was when we started to engage in that warfare. We started to pray, "Lord, we take charge of this territory." You know, what a lot of people don't understand is that progress and progressiveness is one of the ways that the devil blinds people. When you become so confident in your abilities, you become so blind to what the devil is doing. Because your intelligence will make you so logical that you don't believe there's anything spiritual going on. And that's why what the first thing I noticed when I entered into this country generally and city, I felt a heavy cloak. How many of you know what I'm talking about? Did you feel it? Anybody? Heavy cloak. Something just cold wrapping on you. It was bad. I couldn't pray. I'm telling you, most people who come here, it takes them about a year or two before they get themselves back. Why? It's not normal, I'm telling you. It's not. It took me a bit to shake myself. You know. And it's also because the structure is not It's not in such a way that it's built to encourage your walk with God. Actually, it's built to dissuade you from that, to pull you into the work culture and the life. You know, I remember when I started discipling people here, some disciples would say, oh, I can't come to church on Sunday. I work on Sunday. I'm like, don't you see already you're in the trap? Amen? Your office will give room for a hijabi to go pray. You see what I'm saying? They would dare not set meetings on those days. But on a Sunday, it doesn't matter. It's not their fault. It's you that does not stand for what you believe. They don't know any better. But you know better. Ah, you see what I'm trying to say? Aha. So I discerned that there was a heavy cloak. I knew for sure. So we started to pray. God taught me a method. I remember going for Deeper Canada that year and After that, the Lord was already talking to us about it a year before. And in Deeper Canada, that was the exact same thing my spiritual father preached about. He said, who owns Canada? Because if God really owns it, then we can change who controls the territory. Are you seeing what I'm trying to say? So we started to engage, started to pray. And bah! Results started to come. We started to see better results. And I can spend the whole of today. And if you don't understand what I'm saying, watch those sermons I've preached before. Ask somebody after the service to tell you about it. Adulam, I spoke about it at length at Adulam camp meeting. I can try to open your eyes to see that we've become so intelligent in this part of the world that the devil is operating in plain sight. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? It's not hidden. I know a witch shop in Windsor. Do you know? Have you seen it? I know a witch shop. They do witch festivals. It's normal. You know? It's rebranded witchcraft. So now, young people are talking about horoscope. Star signs. It's rebranded witchcraft. I'm telling you. So, what has happened? Again, there are many possessed people that we think have mental health issues. if anyone did not, this one you know. You've walked by somebody before and your skin crawled. And you knew it was not because and you were scared of the person. There was just a presence. It was just off. It's a good time to say God has anointed you to deliver people. Are you listening to what I'm saying? So until you stop treating everything just naturally and you start seeing spiritually, you might never really be able to effectively do ministry. Are you listening to me? But if I'd preached this all through the time I have, it would have been a good sermon. But there's much more that God wants me to share with you today. You see, the Lord speaks to me in many different ways, and 98% of the times, He speaks to me through prophecies. Anybody who knows me, you know, He speaks to me through prophecies. Words of wisdom, words of knowledge. See, I attract prophecy like a fly. How many of you know that? I'm not joking. I attract. It's like fly to food. Even when I don't want prophecies, prophecies come to me. And I say this with all sense of humility. It's just what I've seen in my life. And I believe that the reason why God has made this my reality is because He doesn't want me to miss what He's doing in my life. That has to do with all of you and what God wants us to do as well. Are you listening to what I'm saying? You know, one year I really wanted to pray. So I went to a camp meeting. It was hosted by a brother in the ministry. He's a more senior pastor. Also, you know, son to my spiritual father. I went to pray. You know when you need, because I have a culture of praying before I step into any new year. So I'd been so busy all the year, I didn't have time to pray. But that year, I wanted to pray. So I said, let me go for this camp meeting before I go to our own camp meeting at the time. So I got to the meeting. I know in camp meetings, during stretch prayers, everybody wants to hold your hand and pray, you know. Say, bro, let's pray, you know, and then give me a word. And it's a good thing, but I didn't want that day. Don't give me a word. Just let me pray. I really want to hear the Lord. So I went to hide at the back. So I was praying at the back of the church. Guess what? I got nothing less than 20 prophetic words in the meeting I was hiding. Do you know what I'm saying? And those words were words about Windsor. That's what brought me here. I had undeniable. See, There's no way I could have doubted that God wanted me to be here. Not Toronto, not London, Windsor. Are you listening to what I'm saying? That's why I'm here. Meaning it's not coincidence that I met you. Are you listening to what I'm saying? Those of you who know me, you know I was doing ministry. I would have been maybe pastoring one very big church now in Nigeria if I stayed. But the Lord said, leave everything. You are not starting there. You're starting here. Are you listening to me, somebody? Received words. And that's always me. When I'm not looking for it, God is, you know, he keeps telling me things. And many times what God is doing in my life personally is usually connected to what he's also about to do in our church. I remember when I told the community then that we're going to become a church and we're going to start in Windsor. About five workers left our church, or three or five left our church. They said, we're moving too fast. Are we not here now? Now, I'm saying all of this, you know, I don't usually get dreams, but when I do, they're heavy. I'm saying all of this because in 2023 December, you know, it's a prelude to the prophetic word I'm about to share with you. I've shared it before, but the Lord has given me more release to expound it to you. I received the prophetic word in 2023 from a brother in the ministry. We're at a camp meeting together. And he's one of those people that you know will not talk if God did not send them. You know what I'm saying? You know, some people always share, but this one, you know that if God did not say, he will not speak. And he said to me, Pastor Michael, apostolic order is coming in 3 years. It will be fully established. And instantly, I knew that word was not about me. It was about the church. Are you listening to what I'm saying? It was about the church. It's not just for me. It's for the church. And that year of establishment is the year we're about to enter into. I'm telling you now so that you'll mark it and you'll be prepared for it. This ministry will begin to take its roots in different cities. I thought you would say a big amen there. And we're stepping into apostolic order in its full form. And this is not anything about me being an apostle or not. I care not for those things. I don't care for titles. But I mean that the nature of this ministry would be established in the apostolic fully in this year we're about to enter into. Are you listening to what I'm saying? You see, I'm telling you what has already been ordained. You know, when a prophet says, by tomorrow, a morsel of bread will be sold for this amount. Believe it, though. Yes, believe it. For a year and a half, we were praying because of prophecy about this church. And this church is here now. It's 2 years. Are you listening to me? And when you believe the word, embrace it and become a part of it. Are you listening to me? Yes, you see, because when you don't believe prophetic words, you exempt yourself from them. You get what I'm saying? You exempt yourself from them. And so, God needs you to participate in that move. And I believe with all my heart that that's why you're here today. Like I said, this is more than a ceremony. It is what? An activation. Say this with me. Say, I'm part of the move of God in my generation. Say it like you believe it 3 more times. Hallelujah. Well, you're part of the move of God in your generation. The Bible says in the book of Joel, Joel chapter 2, verse 28, it says, and it shall come to pass after that, that I will pour out my spirit upon what? All flesh. How many? All flesh. It says, your sons and daughters shall what? Prophesy. Your old men shall what? Dream dreams. And your young men shall what? See visions. God is saying here that he wants to pour out his anointing, his spirit upon every single person. He begins to explain that the demography would not matter. Are you seeing what I'm trying to say? Everybody. So in saying that your sons and daughters will prophesy, your old men will see dream, he's not trying to say only old people will dream. Are you seeing what I'm trying to say? He's trying to say it will reach a wide range of people. He says even upon the handmaidens, And the hand servant, the Spirit of the Lord will come upon. So he's trying to say that nobody will be left behind in the move of God. Are you seeing what I'm trying to say? Nobody. Everyone who has the Holy Ghost today is going to be part of what God is set to do. Regardless of your class, regardless of your status, regardless of what is going on with you. Are you listening to what I'm saying, somebody? And this is telling you that in what God wants to do, he has you in mind. And he has given his Spirit to that effect. All men, great and small, rich or poor, male or female, old or young, will be part of the move of God in the last days. Are you listening to what I'm saying? Say loud, amen. Amen. There will be no segregation, no discrimination. I'm trying to say every single one of you is important to what God is said to do. And to that effect, he gave you the Holy Ghost. Do you have the Holy Ghost? And this is so important because apostolic order is not a one-man thing. Did you hear what I said? Apostolic order is what? It's not a one-man thing. It's for the body of Christ. It's a move of God. Are you listening to me, somebody? You know, the Bible says in the book of Matthew, Matthew chapter 9, verse 36. This is going to bless you. Because are you being blessed today? Matthew chapter 9, verse 36. Are you ready? Are you ready? All right, everybody read together like a mass choir. One, two, go. Wow. He says, when he sees the multitude, or rather, when he saw the multitude in past tense, he says that he was moved with compassion. You know, one story that would always come to my mind is when I went to see Apostle Emmanuel Iren in 2023. I remember it was early 2023. I went to meet him and I said, sir, I've gone to Windsor like I told you I was going to go. We've been doing monthly meetings. It's been amazing. Then we were doing what? Saturday evenings with God. Remember? And for those of you that are not accountable to your own pastor now, you see me, I'm accountable to my own pastor. Good. Amen? I said, sir, we've been doing monthly. He said, yes, sir, were you there? Now, I said, sir, we've been doing monthly meetings, Saturday evenings with God. It's been powerful. It's been amazing. I said, you know, and it's been great. It was like he was waiting for me to say something. And I said, you know, sir, by September of 2023, we're going to be planting the church at Windsor. He said, now you are talking. As though he was waiting for me to speak. He said, now you are talking. He said, program. He said, now you're talking. And then he quoted this text to me. The next verse was what he actually quoted to me. Where is it? Everybody read this together. One, two, go. Then he said to his disciples, the harvest truly is plentiful, but the laborers are few. And the reason why he quoted it to me was that he said, program, good. He said, but you have to realize that we're already at a disadvantage. He said, the harvest is plenty. He said, the laborers are few. He said, it's good that you're doing programs, but God needs more shepherds, more people responding to the work, more people doing ministry, not in a small way, but in a big way. Are you listening to what I'm saying? So go back to 36 and let me explain what I want you to see in this text today. What I want you to see in this text today is how Jesus responded when he saw the multitude. So there was a multitude. He said he saw them and he was moved with compassion. Why? Because they were weary and scattered like what? Like sheep that have what? He saw a multitude. But instead of him to be excited at, oh, great number of people, what was in his heart? Compassion. And the compassion was because he knew that they needed shepherds. Are you listening to me, somebody? He knew that what? They needed shepherds. I know what we're doing here looked impossible at first. And although we seem little, I see a massive church. I don't know what you see, but I see a massive church. Are you listening to me, somebody? I know that we say Windsor is taken for the gospel, and do we truly know that Windsor is taken for the gospel? Oh, you don't? Do you know that members of this church are more than what you see? Do you know what I'm saying?
Yes, sir.
Have you been out before and someone is telling you about your church and like they know more than you? Has that happened to you before? Right? When I go to the university, is that 1, 2, 3 people who stop me to? I'm like, but you don't come to church. How do you know me? Are you getting what I'm saying? So, what you are seeing is seed form of what is about to blow up. Are you seeing what I'm trying to say? So, I see a massive church, but even what we see here is a miracle. It is what? It's a miracle. And what I'm trying to say is that we can be grateful for 2 years and where God has brought us to in 2 years, but Jesus looked at people, looked at the city taken, and what he felt was not just excitement, it was compassion. Are you listening to me, somebody? It was compassion. When many people see a church that is growing, we are excited for the result. And make no mistake, the result is great. It's amazing that we can have people come to church. We can have people, you know, serving church. I'm not trying to downplay it. Are you seeing what I'm saying? There's a reason why the Bible recorded that the church increased in size. 3,000 people were added. 5,000 people were added. It's because quantity is critical. It's important. Are you seeing what I'm saying? But apart from being happy about the growth of the church, what Jesus saw was a call for responsibility. Look at what he said in verse 37. I want you to read this together. Everybody wants to go. Then he said to his disciples, Come on, can you read it together properly? One, two, go. Interesting. Previous verse. Let's see. Let's see something. I want us to read it together. From here, want to go. But when he saw the multitude, he was moved with compassion. Question: don't they have a shepherd? Is Jesus not the good shepherd? Why would Jesus be saying they seem scattered like sheep without a shepherd? It means even though he was there, he knew that they needed more people to respond. Are you seeing what I'm trying to say? He knew that even though he was there, more people needed to respond. In the next verse, he then says that the harvest is plenty. He says what? The laborers are few. You have to understand that the people he's talking to are laborers. Yet he says the laborers are what? Few. So now the good shepherd is looking at the multitude and saying they have no shepherd. Can you imagine that? So he's saying there would be need for other shepherds in the flock. If you want to truly be a part of an apostolic work, which is the model of Jesus's ministry, there have to be other shepherds in the flock. Did you hear what I said? What did I say, everybody? And so as I begin to unpack this, I want to talk about a class of people who don't even really get what I'm trying to say. Because as far as they are concerned, the church is growing, everything is good, great. They don't see the problem that Jesus is seeing here. There was a multitude, 3,000 people, and Jesus is still raising a problem about shepherds, about people for the work. I know you think we've done great, but there's still a whole city for the taking. And I know you think we are equipped for it, and by God's grace we are. But are you in the class of people who is just excited? Oh, God is going to do great things through this church. Some of you have come to meet me. Say, Pastor Mike, don't be worried. I see you and I see the hand of God on your life. You know, I've heard that a million times. Some of the people that said it are no more in this church. There's somebody that gave us a prophecy of 15 cities and 4 countries. I'm going to keep my mouth shut there. Because I'm praying. You know, she's still here, but I'm praying that she's more active because she's anointed for great things. Are you seeing what I'm trying to say? So you can be the vessel through which these prophetic words can come. You can have seen it in your dream. God even showed you. You know how many people have given me prophetic word? So I saw you in a vision. and I saw all of us following you, and I was there behind you. That person is no more here. Are you listening to what I'm saying, somebody? There's somebody that gave me a prophecy that we're going on a hill to the top, and everybody was following with hands tied, and some people almost fell, and we grabbed them. That person is not here. But are you getting what I'm saying? Some people don't see the problem that Jesus sees. You can call me from afar and say, sir, I believe in the work that God is doing through you. But how have you participated in that work? Because some people don't care. You see, the Catalyst Church, through our online global discipleship platform, is privileged to disciple people in different states in Nigeria, in the US, in the UK, in Wales, as far as Lithuania, in Hungary, in different provinces in Canada. And at some point, I've received calls from people listening to sermons from Australia. Are you listening to what I'm saying? And I know a lot of you are excited to hear it. Wow! Some people are like, oh, pastor, they're listening to you from there. But I know you're excited, but that's not what Jesus saw when he saw that kind of impact. He had compassion. Did he ever cross your mind that how will pastor reach all these people? I'm telling you, the marks of an apostolic walk. There must be compassion in your heart. Are you seeing what I'm saying, somebody? There's a kind of compassion that comes with an apostolic work. Don't just be excited to, you know, the class of people I'm talking about are people who just come here and are excited to attend for a few hours and go. Many people only come here to appease the guilt of Sunday service. At least I went to church on Sunday. 2 hours, I'm home. Are you listening to what I'm saying? That laughter says very. I saw even brag about it. I like my church. They don't really disturb us. I just come to church, write my notes. Some people are even proud of it. Nobody knows me, my church. As if that's a good thing. Nobody knows me. I'm in, out. But there's a reason that Jesus is responding this way. He is praying that the Father will send laborers into the harvest. In agriculture, harvest is the end. But in ministry, harvest is the beginning. Because they've come now, we are here. Your friends are telling you, that's your church. You know, I hear they call me pastor with the fro. God will help us. Amen. I'm not making it even easy on myself with this. Amen. Now, I know you know all these people. I know you are saying, pastor, let's go to the university. Don't worry. Let's buy food. They will come. They just need a pastor that can answer their questions. Let's go. I'm laughing. You know what I'm about to say, Abby? Yeah. But the fact that we have that harvest, the fact that I believe that this city is taken, doesn't mean it's just going to happen magically. No. The fact that we're evangelizing and we have a lot of people who have heard the gospel through us, that's where the work starts. Are you seeing what I'm saying? If we have 2 first timers in this church every Sunday, you think it's harvest, but that's the beginning of the work. It's one thing for people to show up, it's another thing to get them to stay. Am I preaching to you?
Yes, sir.
It's a whole different thing because people are coming from different places. Some people don't even know what to look out for in the church. So you have to teach them. Do you know what I'm saying? What do you do when someone tells you your church doesn't feel like a good fit for me? It's not you. It's what do you do? So, in situations like that, there would have to be a proper vetting. What are you looking for in a church? Do you know the criteria for some people not showing up at your church is demography? Is that a scriptural criteria for checking for a church? No. So there are little things. You know, toilet is a criteria for people. And it's an important one, though, but amen. But I'm just saying, is that, because that can be fixed. Are you seeing what I'm saying? So the job of actually ensuring that people stay committed cannot always rest on the pastor. How much do I see? It rests on you. It rests on the conversations that you have. It rests on your persistence to help the person. A simple conversation will reveal everything sometimes. The person, something might have just happened in the wrong context and put the person off. And that's it. And you know that if the person were to stay, at the very least, the person will grow in the word. At the very least, the person will grow in prayer. Are you seeing what I'm saying? The things that mark a good local assembly, theology, people don't look at. So you have to be able to be a part of that work. And that's what I'm trying to tell you, that in all of these things, God wants laborers. Are you learning something today? So, people are coming to church. That's good. And I think it's only a matter of time before this place is filled with people. I don't doubt it. But it's also a means to an end. Because discipleship is the call. And if you love Jesus and you love to see people grow spiritually, then a sense of weight and responsibility must come on you as well as a result of this teaching. Now, listen to what I'm saying. You would understand that it's not enough to come to church once a week, tick the calendar and go. No. Thank God you hear a great sermon here. Great. Thank God for all the things you receive. I've heard all the testimonies. We even did video where people shared their best parts. I love you people for sharing, you know, of the church. Thank God for all of those things. Thank God your devotion is better since you came here. Thank God that you know the Bible better since you came here. But there is more. After a great sermon, God wants something more personal from you. Amen. Remember that when God is telling me something, He confirms it through my own father. When we started this church, I had a plan, and I still have that plan. Once we reach 200, we'll break. Amen. We break. We plant another branch. God help us, because it's a logistic nightmare. But God will. You know why? God doesn't want people that just show up and go home. No. Nobody knows you. No. God wants to give you people that you will do life with. People that will fan the flames of your devotion every day. People that will give you a word of prophecy when you need it the most. People who will see you in the wrong places and call you to order. Are you seeing what I'm trying to say? God wants to give you not just a church, but a family. Are you listening to me, somebody? That's what God wants to give you. So, thank God for all the great things. But listen, God's idea is something personal. What many of us are used to is program. A lot of people are not members of this church. They are regular meeting attendees. Amen? Because people treat church like program. You know, show up every week. There's a program on Sunday. We go. That's all. 2 hours, I'm out of here. That's not church. Many people are acting like customers. That's not church. Are you listening to me? You know, you come here and you don't realize that you think it's angels that do all these things. It's real humans that put in the work. It's real humans that give for us to show up every week here. You know, one day, a member called me and said, "Ah, Pastor, God is really with you. The fact that they've not arrested you." The many times that we don't have rent to pay, he said, "Ah, God really did your back, Pastor." Because it's real people who empty their savings sometimes for us to be able to show up and pay the rent for us to come here. It's real people. This place was bare ground before. The money did not fall from heaven for us to fix it. Amen. Amen. I'm preaching, Abby. It's the one you, people don't want to hear. Good. We've changed decoration now many times. It's real people's money. This Jesus, this wood now, it's not free. It's not free. If you want to try it, go to Home Depot, price wood. Just buy it and keep it to yours and see how you feel. Are you seeing what I'm saying? So imagine you come into a church like this and your friends say, "Oh my God. Wow, can't you guys just fix up this place or something?" No, I'm already said cutting. So it's not like we don't have vision. No. We want to cut in it round. But assignment after today, research how much cotton is. Long one from the drape. Then maybe just walk to the back, measure. Just one side. Amen. Are you seeing how a lot of us behave like customers? So you come to church to give your review. Eh? Awkward food review. You are coming to review church. So you come in and bicycle at the back. Because it's what you are causing for our church. But are you getting what I'm trying to say? It's real humans that sweep this place every week. Do you know? Real humans. No, angel. No, it's not like that. There was a time we had berries all over the floor outside. Everybody would step on the berries and this whole place would be red. It's real people that will sweep it and mop it. Amen? You see this singing? It's real people that will stay every Thursday when you've gone home till 1 a.m. They will not be singing. You will not even lift up your hand. You'll be pressing your phone. You know, we need to be saying our mind in this ministry work. But are you getting what I'm trying to say? I'm trying to say in any real apostolic work that people must be willing. Are you getting what I'm saying? Not just willing, you must be participants. Anything you review in a local assembly, maybe God is asking you to fix it. Eh? Amen? If it's not good, we're not saying we're the best. We're growing. Come and fix it. I remember, you know, I heard the story of a pastor. Someone came to them, you know, pastor, there's no, I told them, they must put your book here. And this one, he said, okay, you are now the sister in charge of book reading. So everything you are saying, do. Are you listening to what I'm saying? We can't have a consumer mindset, is what I'm trying to say. When we see people in church, you must have compassion and see an opportunity for ministry. Not just you. See an opportunity for ministry. I'm trying to show you that you must always ask, how can I be a laborer in this apostolic work? How? Jesus said, pray that the Lord of the harvest will send more laborers. He didn't say complain. He said pray. And then after praying, it's still you that is the answer to the prayer. Oh, you know that, right? Because after that, the Bible says that he told them two by two to go into the world and evangelize. So many of the problems is still you. Don't act like church is a restaurant. This is not what I ordered. Please, no. Are you listening to me? You know, one thing that irks me a lot is when people call this my church. So the reason why I can't be a part of your church. I used to feel irritated. Like, please, no. I'm not a single or a sole signatory to anything in this church. Do you know? I'm not. Other people are always part of it. I'm not sole signatory to anything, including the church account. Amen? So it's not my church. And that's how sometimes I gauge when people have really become a part of the church, because they say, our church. Amen? Because I'm not Jesus. I'm not the one that called you from darkness into light. It's his church. Amen? And then we're members of that church. So, don't come to a local assembly only to be served. No. Don't come to only to be critical about what is being done. You know all the people that don't sing well. Oh, yeah, now. Join. Hallelujah. All the things you've complained about, you've not done for other people. They don't wish you happy birthday. Oh. There's a team. We'll give you the exact shit. You know how much cake is every Sunday? We even used to buy at the end of the month. Amen? Now, I'm not saying this to make you feel, but I'm saying this to help you see gaps that need to be filled before we can truly step into apostolic order. Amen? You can't do an apostolic work if you don't respond to your call. So they say, minister. I say, me. Minister? God forbid. So who would not preach to this? Is it God forbid? And what a lot of people don't know is that people don't just randomly see you and call you pastor. It must be because they've discerned the grace in your life. So you now, you're walking against the grace. Yes, now, because every time you say, yeah, no, God forbid, say over my dead body. But you know, you can be humble enough to say, I don't see that just here too, but thank you. I believe the Lord is working something in me. Do you know, I never saw that I'll be a pastor. Oh, actually, I rejected it. In my friend group, the person that received the call has not yet been ordained. The two of us that said no, all we just want to do is serve the Lord. We are pastors now. Are you listening to me? I didn't see it coming. I was serving the Lord. I was fervent. I was what? You know, some of you think that what the Lord is going to do then, he would have all. It's not everybody. I don't have that story where in the womb I came out with the Bible. I was preaching it. I don't have that story. No. I actually had the phase where I was actually not following the Lord properly in secondary school. You see what I'm trying to say? Uh-huh. I went to King's College, Lagos. So that's all I can say. Amen. So I had that phase. But I always knew that I was still connected to the Lord one way or the other. And so it was in service I found my call. Listen, I know a lot of people say I will never be a pastor. In service, your call will be found. Do you know, you don't have to have a dream or a vision to be a pastor. It's not when you're pioneering, when you're partnering for ministry. Because the majority of the people who are in ministry in a local church will end up pastoring one way or the other. Oh, you don't believe that? Go and ask. Is it not from your leading prayer? So they say, okay, do you believe the Lord is calling you for more? You say yes. The Lord will be revealing to you small, small, one step at a time. Until the day you see yourself kneeling down here now, and I'll lay hands on you. I say, oh yeah. Now, the problem is that some of you people is wickedness. If you don't become a pastor, how will I go to other cities? No, tell me. You have had three dreams. You were preaching. You did not tell me anyone. Because you don't want me to ordain you. Are you getting my point? There's some things that some people are doing that if you don't take over from them, they can't do the things God is calling them to do. Are you seeing what I'm saying, somebody? This is important. You know, every new branch, you need a pastor, Abby. I'm just, you are excited. Kitchener, pastor is going to Kitchener. Result in Waterloo. You know, another thing is that what a lot of people don't know in an apostolic work is that you have to be very discerning to honor graces of people. Because some people, you join morning prayer, pastor is leading. Prayer and fasting, pastor is leading. Thursday preaching, Sunday preaching, pastor is leading. Special meetings, pastor is preaching. We now say, okay, someone should replace pastor. You now tune in. You hear this a lot leading. You close it. Oh, you don't think people do it? Once in many ministries, when it's not the lead pastor who is handling things, people are not as serious. And you don't discern that for a true apostolic work, and I'll tell you that God prepared us for this. About 4 years ago, God told us, he said, grace would flow from the top to every single member. And so when you see such operations of somebody representing your pastor, if you don't honor it, nothing will happen to you. If you honor it, you can even receive greater because your heart is connected, because the same grace is at work. But listen, there can never be an apostolic work if you don't honor the people that are set over you. If I'm always preaching here on Sunday, we can't reach anywhere. Amen? So two things will have to happen. People will have to step up. But the second thing that will have to happen is that you're going to have to honor them. Are you listening to what I'm saying? you're going to have to receive from them and have your heart open for that to happen. Please, are you learning something today? I'm going to begin to round up because I just want to charge your heart. Listen, and when I say partnership in ministry, not everybody will pastor or do pulpit ministry. I'm just saying. And when I'm talking about shepherding, Jesus looking for shepherd, I'm saying find your place in what God is doing. Don't be a customer. Participate. Participate. Are you listening to what I'm saying? Everybody who is serving you today have the same excuses you have not to serve. Or at least have once had. What was your excuse? School. I worked, schooled, and pastored the church in Nigeria at the same time when I moved here. Yeah. Their prayer times were midnight for me. And I'll be there. Amen? When we started, one day, it was from my graduation, I ran to preach midweek service. You remember that service? From my graduation, I ran to preach midweek service. So, everyone you see today has a similar excuse to you for why they will not be able to do what you are saying. Please, are you learning something today? So, what's your excuse? Career? You think me too, I don't have career? I put it aside to serve you. I'm not saying put your career aside completely. I'm saying there are sacrifices you can make to serve others. Are you listening to me, somebody? There are sacrifices. Hey, this cannot truly be an apostolic work if you can't make those sacrifices. Amen? We've been serving you for 2 years now. How about you start to serve others? That's the challenge I'm bringing to you today. How about you start to serve others? You know, sometimes someone just calls me and checks up on me and I'm like, oh, okay. So after they say, oh, how are you doing, sir? I'm like, good, great, great. How are you doing? So good, good, good. Then I'm silent because what do you want? Because there's usually something. You know, so when in the off chance someone actually genuinely calls me to say, oh, sir, I'm calling to check on you. Are you sure? Nothing. Okay, okay. Wow. You know, it does feel good sometimes. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? Because the work will never be truly successful if there's no compassion for your pastor. See, in any apostolic work, if you don't have compassion for the pioneer, it can't be successful. It can't. Amen? You know many pastors die young, Gabby? You think I'm joking? The pastor with the biggest church in the world, Yonggi Cho, he died because of exhaustion. Yeah. He died because of exhaustion. Amen? But not before God gave him a model that can work. Cell structures. Cell structures that allow the individuals participate in what God is doing. You are anointed, many of you already. You have graces flowing in you already. You can't have listened to all of the things I've been preaching and you can't understand, basically communicate the gospel. So, when are we going to start a cell in your house where the people you invite are not only people that are already here, but other people? Because sometimes the first stage of people joining the church is coming to your house. Are you listening to what I'm saying? Sometimes they need a neutral ground. No pressure, nothing. You teach the word. Invite people. Invite them. So, we're going to start cell structures in Windsor. Hallelujah. You know, some of you don't know, but the Lagos Cell Church started as a cell group. And now it's a cell church. They are meeting on Sundays now. Over 30 of them or 36 of them now. And I know there are more than 100 more of them that want to come, but their parents are restricting them. So that church is already growing. So maybe it's your cell church, your cell group that would plant the next church. It's possible. Are you seeing what I'm trying to say? How can you participate? Who will lead men's group when men really need to speak about the deep things? Why are you moving? What if it's you? will lead men's group? Because men need to talk. You know what I'm saying, Abby? Nobody goes through the pressure we go through, like, you know. So we need to talk about it and the actual sense of it. Today is not the day for that talk. We'll talk. So, who will lead men's group? Who will lead women's group? Not the one that they will be playing Shakira. No, they will pray, study the word. Amen. Are you listening to what I'm saying? You need to do life together to be strong. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? These are the marks of a true apostolic walk. We can't, the next stage of 2 years cannot be just inviting people to church on a Sunday. We have to take it to them. That's why it was beautiful when we went to serve on Tuesday. It felt so good, and I think we should find ways to sponsor to do things like that, because we could preach to people and reach them where they were. So, in this new year, we're going to do more things like that. But I want you to ask questions. Pastor, how can I serve better? How can I be involved? Pastor, you mentioned Australia. You mentioned that we have disciples in this way. How can I be a part of the work? Some of you don't know that your church has a branch now in Lagos. How can I be a part? Some of you don't know that I've gone to Nigeria twice already this year. I'm going again. I was supposed to go 4 times. But I'm going to go 3 times this year. Nobody ever asks, Pastor, do you see that you have plenty of money? Flight is not cheap. This is how apostolic work is done. Just Kitchener there. You know, I would drive the 3 hours, preach. I would drive back myself. You know, preaching a sermon is like you did an 8-hour shift. Oh, no pastor has ever told you. Yeah. It's that draining. Because we're not just giving through what we're saying. There's a lot of virtue that lives. Are you getting what I'm saying, somebody? I'm not saying this to draw sympathy for myself, but listen, you know, if we're going to do and replicate all we need to do in new cities, I cannot lead all the prayers. I can't lead all the devotional. You have to lead. You have to own your graces enough so that you can take up some responsibilities that would free us to be able to do some of the things we need to do. Are you getting what I'm saying, somebody? Uh-huh. And many of you that are called, you have to yield, because God wants to use you, and He wants to use you mightily. You've heard before that many children raised by pastors always rebel, Abby. Uh-huh. God forbid for me, sure. But many pastors are overworked because many people... See, God continues to give the burdens. Do you know? The fact that we've not done one does not mean God will not give. The burdens will continue to come. So sometimes that's why it looks as though when you guys tell me something, I remember the member of our church, wonderful guy, we wanted to do something. He said, Pastor, how? I said, get the behind me, Satan. You know, not because what he was doing was not right from his perspective to help us save money, but because I can see no limitation with where God is taking us to. Are you see what I'm trying to say? Uh-huh. So we now, when a pastor now dies, we spiritualize it. Heaven gain the general. It's a lie. God did not want him to go yet. It's exhaustion. So one of the things I'm going to do this year alone, as we round up, is I'm going to raise as many leaders as possible. As many people as are ready to step into the next stage of ministry for their lives, I'm going to dedicate the time. We're going to raise as many leaders as possible. See, I told them in the online community, I said, we ordained many pastors. God has already told me we'll need it soon. So I don't want that time. I'll not be rushing. Come. Let's start the training now. Amen? If 20% of the Windsor Church were pastors, it's easy now. All me I need to go and do is break ground. If I break ground in London, I will just send you. You know what I'm saying? See, breaking ground is no more easy. The fact that I came from Nigeria, I did this work here and it has grown, means that there's grace for the obedience of the nation. Did you hear what I said? And I see, this is not a struggle work. Do you see Kitchener? It's not a struggle work. Even Kitchener looks like they have more drive than you people with the way you people are going. You know, they were on the streets sharing flyers. Did you see that video? They were
in the street sharing flyers for the program. So there's work. I'm just letting you know. You know, it's wonderful that Minister Peter is here. We were doing a prayer session, if you remember. God told us that there will be economy of help in Windsor. He said, people have been waiting for this type of move. And he said, he's sending us. So you're in the middle of a move of God. Let me tell you a prophecy that brought me to Canada. How many of you know S.G. Elton? You need to brush up on revival history. S.G. Elton, Pa Elton. He was the one that ordained Archbishop Benson Idahosa. He was a white man that came to Nigeria for missionary work. We were in the middle of prophecy, revival history, strong. He said, countries that send missionaries to Africa, Africa will begin to send missionaries back to them. Are you listening to what I'm saying? He said, Africa is like a gun pointed down. If you know the map of Africa, you know what I'm saying. He said, Nigeria is the trigger. You know, he said, prophesied that once we see appetite go down in South Africa, you're going to see the gun of Africa begin to point to the rest of the world. And if you've been following the spread of the gospel geographically, you will see stadiums being filled. Not one, not two, not three, frequently. So on the first year I came here, God had told me all of this. We had been praying about it. God led me to join a stream that Apostle Selman was doing there. And he said this exact same thing. He said, we don't know, but we're in the middle of a prophetic shift. Maybe what we called backwardness is God protecting us. Do you see what I'm saying? It's God, because now, we'll take the world for Jesus. So why am I here? I'm not here to do an African church in Canada. No. This is a church for all the nations. Are you seeing what I'm trying to say? It's a church for all the nations. But it will start with you. At first, when Africa, when Africans started coming to our church, I said, God, no, this is not what you told me. I'm sorry, I want you guys, but I'm just trying to tell you that, because when I was ordained, the prophet was given that there's a cross-cultural anointing on you. So I say, Lord, I see, but am I not praying enough? What am I not doing, Jesus? Then God told me, he said, I will send you these ones. He said, they will be so strong that they will be the ones that will reach the rest of the world. So you are in the middle of prophecy. Are you listening to what I'm saying? If you give me another 2 hours, I'll continue to preach, but I can't. Ephesians, I'll read his final text. Ephesians chapter 4. You know, you have a role to play in what God is doing. Before I came here, members of our church prophesied everything. People like you. A month before I bought a car, a member put it on the group chat. Do you remember? That's something I cannot share on this stream. But even that one, someone prophesied it. You know what I'm talking about, right? They don't know, but they've been sending prophecies about it. These are members. There are many cases. Someone will tell me, Pastor, I was trying to reach you. I could not reach you. I had this emergency. Okay, can I pray for you? Oh, Pastor, it's solved. Sister Gwemi prayed for me. So that's been the testimony of this ministry. It's about to be the testimony of your life. Catholic Church Windsor, you're going to flow in the supernatural like never before. You know, the Bible says, I think it's Ephesians 4, go to 14. Next verse. Okay, 16 then. Everybody read together. 1, 2, go. From whom the whole body, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies. Pause there. It says that the whole body joined and knit together by what every joint supplies. Meaning that in a human, for example, he's using a human being as a metaphor to talk about the fact that in the natural operations of a man does all of these things by what every joint supplies. When you walk, every joint supplies what you need for motion. You see what I'm saying? When you swim, when you do everything, every joint supplies what you need. It says, according to the effective working by which every part does its share, it says it causes the growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. So if we want to grow, every joint must what? Supply. You must supply. You must supply to her. She must supply to you. You must supply. Let it not be that somebody goes through something in this church and somebody doesn't have a prophetic word for him, a word of wisdom, a word of comfort, a word of knowledge. Has anybody in this church ever told you something that was critical by the Spirit before? Well, much more. Say much more. Say much more through me. Lift your hands and say much more through me. Say I'm a supplying joint. Say I'm a supplying joint. Say everything God has called me to do, I do with more effect in this new year. I do with more effect in this new year. I know I said last text. One more text. Psalms. Don't worry. I have like almost 3 pages of notes I did not touch. But I'm going to pause here. Psalms, I think 110. If I'm not exaggerating. I'm sorry. If I'm not mixing it up. Is it 110 verse 30? Can someone check for me? In the days of his power. No, check verse 6. Just look through. In the days of his power, or in the days of your power, your people shall be volunteers. 3. Okay, I got the chapter right. Everybody read together. 1, 2, go. Your people shall be volunteers in the days of your power, in the beauty of holiness. From the womb of the morning, you shall have the dew of your youth. When God is carrying out his end time move, his people will be volunteers. They'll be willing. Nobody will force anybody to respond to what God is calling them to do. It would flow easily. It will flow easily. I'm going to give you 5 minutes to pray over these words. Then we'll give God thanks for the new year. And then we close this service. Are you ready to pray? Rise to your feet, everybody. God is able to do exceeding abundantly above all you can ask or think, according to the power that is at work in you. Well, he's about to do something for you, do something in you, so that you will not be a spectator in this move. Can you begin to praise somebody? Say, Jesus, I volunteer in this.